Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. 11 o'clock hour here. On 680, 105.7, Issel and Louis. Louis Ribeau in with you today. Dan out with illness, but we will get him back as soon as we can. Second hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky, ky.deltadental.com. Some sad news to pass along. We do have some I don't want to call it breaking news, but some sad news coming in that Kentucky native Loretta Lynn has passed away. Good long life. She's, of course, from Butcher Hollow, Kentucky. Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. My daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines and all day in the fields a-hoeing corn. So a little Loretta Lynn, may she rest in peace. Keep losing these people, man. It's brutal. But a little bit of Kentucky there. If you haven't been to Butcher Holler, don't worry, no one has. it's one of those very small small little towns out in eastern Kentucky. And when I was at U of L, Avery, I got the really cool opportunity to travel in eastern Kentucky and meet people and interview them and get their sort of figure out what the dialect and different things were in the eastern part of the state. It's a very beautiful part of the world. It is time for True Crime Tuesday, so let's get that music up. And this one is, I remember this story, actually, which is very unusual for me in this segment. So we're going to talk about Anna Delvey today, who was a fake German heiress in New York in the 20-teens. And, go ahead. She's actually Russian, yes?
Yes, she is Russian.
Okay.
The only thing that she really got right was her first name, Anna. That's like really the
only
non-lie
in it, yeah.
And she did live in Germany for a bit, okay. So she's got that going for her.
Yep.
Only two truths her in this entire, 4-year time span. Like, Anna, girl, no.
Okay.
I will say, my favorite question from her is, why are you poor? Like, girl, you're poor. And not all of us can be Paris Hilton.
Yeah, what's the Paris Hilton shirt? What does it say? I'll look it up. Keep going.
Yeah, you're going to have to look that up. But she has literally been known to ask people, why are you poor? When she's here smooching off other people.
Stop being poor is the tank top. Oh, it's great. Oh, man. All right. So she starts all this around 2013, right? But she, when she relocated to Paris and then in 2014, she ends up in New York, right?
Yes. And basically, she started going crazy after she broke up with her ex in Paris, which is when she went to New York, and she's like, I'm going to be an heiress. That's not how that works, honey. That's not how
I'm going to be an heiress.
Like, it's not how that works. And she's got this Valley girl accent, totally fake, because she's not from the area, and then she mixes it in with the German and the Russian, and it's like, what are you doing?
That's great. Like,
it's not how that works.
Yep.
And so she's basically taking private jet. She's living in these bougie hotels, fine dining, going to all the exclusive places, like not spending a dime or anything. And when payments don't go through because she has no money, because she is like us and poor, like she's like, oh, it's your system. Go check your system or call so-and-so, which is basically one of the higher-ups for the company, and it's like, girl, no. Like, if everyone else's cards work and none of yours do, it's not the system. Sometimes it is, I will say that, but no. If not, it's every single time.
Correct, not this many times, yes, right.
No,
yeah, that's right.
That's not how that works. My cards are dumb, but, you know.
So walk me through this. How does she immediately convince people that she is who she says she is?
Because she managed to get the look.
Got it. Okay.
Like, she basically looked like an heiress. She's the pretty white girl. Like,
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you believe her? She lived in Europe.
She's even attractive in a mugshot after she's been in prison for a couple years.
Yes.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, so yeah. She gets arrested in 2017, shortly after she tries to launch the Anna Delvey Foundation.
Yeah.
But she has no money, so she can't get a loan. And she tried multiple different banks. And it's all because any money that she does have is out in Germany with her family. But, like, she has no money.
Right.
So she's not going to be able to launch this foundation. Like, it's not possible. You need to have the money with you, or at least some of it.
Or someone who's going to back you.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And she didn't have any of that. But she's like, I have the money. It's all in Germany. It's okay. And, like, I'll pay you back the $40 million. No, you're not. No. So then she gets arrested.
Oh, yeah.
And she basically goes straight to Rikers Island for 3 weeks. You gotta really mess up if you're going to Rikers.
Like, that's a section of the Law and Order sort of stuff that they don't like you at all. If you hear one of two things, Rikers Island or Sing Sing, like, that's it. Like, you're yeah. done. Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna go to a place like Rikers, you messed up.
Yeah.
And so she's just there trying to make bail and everything, and then eventually she gets transferred to a medium security prison. The fact that she's just like a con artist and in a medium
needs to go to medium security prison.
Like, that's just.
Do you know what? Do you have a theory about this? Because I do, actually, about this part. I think it's very interesting, actually.
It's because she's an immigrant and doesn't like to follow the rules.
Maybe. My thinking is she's such a good con artist that they were worried she'd get out of minimum security prison. Like, she would talk her way out of it.
Yeah, she very well could.
Yeah, she comes across to me as someone who could get herself escaped from prison. Let's put it that way. So yeah. I think they just went, you know what? We're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. That's interesting.
Like, she knew what she was doing. And then so she's found guilty on 8 out of 10 counts that she's charged with.
By the way, interesting part of that, the criminal court rejected the plea deal she got. Like, they went with a 3 to 9 year deal. Now, I think that's because if you have a 3 year deal, it's really like 18 months, not 3 years, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And so I think they were like, no, she's done more than 18 months worth of damage to people. So, but really interesting that the court was like, no, we're going to trial. Like, that's got to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And so she gets sentenced to 4 to 12 years in prison.
Yep.
Because she deserved it.
Correct. Yeah.
And then so just before the 4 year mark, she's released and she immediately pays back all of the money because she gets just enough from Netflix because of the docuseries Inventing Anna. That's all about her. Supposedly, she's already signed on for another show.
Ooh.
So she's going to be getting more money.
That's amazing.
You see, this is how you get money, Anna. This is how you do it. And I know you're in prison right now, so you're probably not hearing this.
Oh, man. Now she's out, man.
Nope, she was rearrested.
Oh, no, I missed that part. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so 6 weeks later, she's rearrested because she did not go back to
Germany.
Oh,
you're right. I'm sorry. I misread that. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes.
Like, literally 6 weeks after being released on because of good behavior. Like, no. And then, like, shortly after, she's supposed to hop on a plane and finally go home. But she did not, and her new attorney is just like, okay, we're going to file the motion for her to stay day of her flight.
Right.
Day of
course, yep.
Like, no, that you need to start filing that, like,
yeah,
well before. So she's in prison right now. She's doing video calls. She's doing video interviews. She's selling NFTs so that she can make money. The money that she said that she had long ago. And it's crazy. And she is nuts.
Do you have anything in your notes about Michael Shufu Huang, the Chinese guy who kind of figured her out?
No, but I do know him. I literally could not find
him. He's a fascinating dude. Okay, so Wong's the guy. He's one of the guys who was... She didn't pay, essentially, right? So he kind of sniffs this out early on. But he essentially figured out that there is a version of Chinese contemporary art. It just isn't promoted by the communist government. And so he started art galleries in China and became wildly successful, exported the stuff to the States, you know, obviously has a presence in New York City in the art scene there as well. And I paid more for this work than the hotel charges I apparently lost. So he was actually in Inventing Anna. He was depicted, at least in that series, because he was one of the people that sniffed her out early on. Yeah,
it's nuts. Like, one of her friends who is actually depicted in the show, she works at the hotel in the show. And she literally filed a defamation lawsuit because it put Anna in a negative light. Like, girl, she conned you. And Anna literally had the nerve to tell Glamour magazine. She just had a virtual interview with them. Any scamming I did was on businesses. It wasn't on people.
Right.
No. And then, like, she's like, if I were to do it again, I would go about it differently and not do it illegally. What do you mean?
Do it again.
Like, girl.
Be born to a different non-Soviet family.
Yes, right? And she won't go back to Germany because she's like, I have ashamed Germany and my family's going to get hate for it. No, you just don't want to go back to Germany. You don't want to be a free woman, which you would be if you got on that plane.
By the way, do you follow this woman, Jessica Pressler, at all? The journalist that kind of sniffed all this out too?
A little bit.
Okay, you would like her a lot because she was one of the people that developed the miniseries. She also wrote the piece, The Hustlers at Scores.
Ooh, I think I've...
Okay,
I've
so Scores was, if people have listened to radio for a long time, Scores was like the strip club in New York City for a long time, like Howard Stern and those guys. I mean, like athletes, the whole thing. And it turned into that movie, Hustlers. Is that Jennifer Lopez, the 2019 movie?
Yes.
I'm almost positive. Yeah, Jennifer Lopez, Constance Wu, Julia Stiles. Yeah, right. Lizzo, Cardi B, all them. Yeah. And so she's been like in this for a very, very long time. One of her first ones, maybe something we could go find. In 2014, she wrote a story about a student at Stuyvesant, which is the top high school in New York City, where he allegedly made $72 million trading stocks, but it wasn't true. Now, that's a cool story. High school kid convincing people that he had made $70 million trading stocks. That's awesome.
That'll be fun to look into.
Oh, man. But yeah, so the Hustlers at Scores thing was her previous work, and then she essentially figures out the Anna Sorokin case as well. She also... she was one of the people who inspired the show Gossip Girl. Did you watch that show at all?
I love Gossip Girl. Yeah. It was great.
And so, no, all of this is kind of in the same vein. Dan would have hated this one.
Yeah, probably. I could see.
I like it a lot. I think it's good.
I can't believe she managed to go like 4 years.
I'm always impressed when people can just talk their way into things. It is also a good reminder that being beautiful is a great idea. Just be beautiful. You'll get whatever you want. People will hand you things. It is incredible. There's a Bill Burr piece where he says something like, I don't like beautiful women because when everything's going well and you have a lot of money, there's a lot of them around. And then when you need some help, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Something like that. And Anna's like definitely in that group there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So what is your opinion? Like, how long should someone go to jail for doing stuff like this, in your opinion?
She needs to stay there.
Okay. Just because she's going to do it again, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like, she was literally rearrested because she didn't fly home the first time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If you're not going to fly home the first time because...
Would you be okay with them deporting her?
They tried that. twice.
She can't like, come back.
She, because like the second time that she was supposed to hit it while she was locked up, she still didn't show up.
Do you believe her that she never wanted to be a celebrity?
No.
Okay.
If she didn't want to be a celebrity, she wouldn't have pulled all of this.
Okay.
Like, all
right.
No, like if you don't want to be a celebrity, you're not going to do that.
Did you read her letter to Donald Trump?
I did not, but I do follow her on Twitter.
Let me guess. You follow her, but not the journalist on Twitter.
No, I haven't found the journalist yet. Like, I got to look at her insanity.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is how cult leaders start.
Oh, yeah.
No question. I mean, for sure, this is how cult leaders start. So, no, that's. Listen, I mean, there's a couple things going on here. I mean, she's probably pretty brilliant, frankly. She's obviously psychotic. And she's obviously beautiful. And that's a pretty dangerous combination.
It really is. Like, if she was never caught, I definitely could see her starting a cult.
There you go. All right, well, that was True Crime Tuesday. Thank you, Avery. We'll get back into that next week as well. Do you have a feeling of which direction we'll go in for next week?
Not yet, but okay, now I'm kind of like in a culty mood. So maybe
culty mood.
Yeah, we're gonna go join a cult.
There you go. That sounds good.
So maybe we'll do a cult next week. There's a bunch of really good ones.
Once in a while, we get a text on the text line from someone who's a little too deep into sports, and it feels like a cult, like just a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that around.
Bobby
here.
V says it, and he's right. Don't let sports make you dumb. And yeah, beauty will make you dumb.
Yeah.
Sports will make you dumb. There's just a bunch of stuff that'll make you dumb, but that's that. All right. Thank you, Avery. We appreciate it. So a random sports nugget. We'll have Cam Drummond on from the Herald Leader around 11:30. Isla and Louie. Dan's out today. Little tum-tum, as we say around here. A little tum-tum. Hopefully feels better. Dan, if you're listening, man, we're pulling for you. Hopefully you feel better soon. Again, if Dan got sick because he thought about my kid being sick, and we're connected that way, I'm terrified. I made Avery coffee again today. How did the coffee turn out?
It was good.
Awesome.
And you handed it to me while I was working on my first cup. So I was basically double-fisting it this morning.
Oh, I think I didn't walk over that. Okay, good. So last night, so baseball is wrapping up. Our last Reds broadcast is tonight. And for some reason, Avery, I totally misplaced. Oh, there it is. There's the show sheet. All this stuff.
How did it wind up in your bag when it's always just like...
I get it. It's a different day. You settle down.
It is a different day.
Reds Cubs tonight, 680-1057. We'll have Astros and Phillies tonight on 93.9 The Ville as we get closer to the MLB playoffs. I'll be honest, my team stinks, so I haven't really followed. Scott Satterfield Show, of course, 7 to 8 on 93.9 as well. Game week, Louisville football on the road West Virginia. I miss those days. Those games were wild. And actually, Louisville won a bunch of those. Those were fun.
I want a wild game.
Well, that would be all right. 9 o'clock, Miller Lite pregame show, Pat Jaggers, Taylor Lynch, all the way through the network stuff, live play-by-play at noon. Get that Miller Lite postgame show with Mark Ennis. You'll hear from Satterfield. All that on 93.9 The Ville. Just turn it on, leave it on the whole day. You can stream that everywhere, including our app, the Varsity app, Cards mobile app, TuneIn, iHeart, and the ESPNLouisville.com. Of course, your smart speaker will do all of that for you as well if you want to get that going. That's usually how I end up hearing most of our programming is I'll be prepping dinner or whatever it is on a Saturday morning, you know, just hanging out with the kids. We're a big waffle family. I don't know if that's ever come up on the show.
No, at least not when I've been here.
So I make waffles quite often on the weekends when we don't have other things going on. So the cross-country season is wrapping up, so the Saturday morning practices are going away. So we'll be getting back into the gonfle, as we call them around our house, the old waffles. And so my family's from Southwest Belgium. So we make – the waffles in my house are pretty good. Pretty good. It's just –
I could go for some waffles.
I don't know if you could eat them.
Oh, no.
Probably not. But we're getting down to the end of the baseball season. And it's interesting. We're watching different teams, you know, make it, not make it. Or, you know, the Phillies kind of back into the playoffs last night. They win. And then there's this interesting story. So the Yankees are dealing with the spotlight of Aaron Judge. And he's sitting on 61 home runs. And by the way, we are running out of time here for him to hit number 62. And I think what's going to end up happening, and I felt this when it happened, and I should have said it out loud because I would have been on the record, and now everyone could call BS and I get it. I felt like he was at 61 and it was done. And the pressure of hitting 62 is just immense. The spotlight of New York to begin with, and then having to do that, he's trying to hit for the Triple Crown as well. And actually, I haven't checked this morning, but he was, you know, I tuned in for like two of the at-bats last night. I struck out in both of them. So, I mean, you know, he's, is he still at the top of the, oh no, he's 4 points behind a batting average. Oh no, I don't like that at all.
They're figuring him out.
I think he's tired, man.
Yeah.
I think
61 home runs is exhausting.
Well, and I think too, I mean, like he's played 156 or seven games and just doesn't take nights off, and he's never done this before. Like I think he's just doing a lot, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to keep their spot in the playoffs and all that. And I just, yeah, I don't know. That stinks. But kudos to Arias. He's actually raised his average this year in Minnesota. He's up to 315. No one should ever win a batting title hitting 315. That's beside the point. 61 home runs, 130 RBIs, nothing to sneeze at there. He does have the fifth most hits in the American League as well. But, you know, just they're dealing with that spotlight. They're dealing with all the Aaron Judge stuff. Text coming down about True Crime Tuesday, 437-9680. I can't do that one. Never mind. I can't read that one. Thank you for texting on the UPS Jobs text line. I appreciate you. But it comes up last night that they're winning a game, and they have a pitcher with a no-hitter through seven innings, and he's thrown 94 pitches, and they pull him. And this is an old debate in baseball. Do you just let a guy try to throw for a no-hitter once he gets to a certain point in a game? And this is a very modern, last 5 years kind of thing. To make it okay to pull a guy with 94 pitches after seven innings and no hit ball going. But in this case, I wanted to pick Dan's brain about this because I think I know his answer. And I think it's one of the things that would surprise the audience. I think he's okay with it. I think he's good with team first. No hitters will happen another time. We're talking about playoffs. We need your arm for the playoffs. It's not like the season. It's not like the Reds. The season's done tonight. It's a different animal for them. They have to go and they have to go play in the playoffs and they have to be good. And Luis Severino has to be part of that equation for them. Now the Yankees are 7.5 games up in the standings, and so what happens to them tonight, tomorrow, whatever, isn't going to change their position. They're going to be in the second spot behind the Astros. They're going to have the 2 seed in the AL. That's just true. By the way, the AL East this year, brutal. Top three teams are going to make the playoffs. The other two divisions, the Mariners are going to squeak in. I have not seen the Mariners play this year. But, man, okay, texter wants to know, Avery. This is a good text. 437-9680. What is the one thing you love the most but you can't eat?
Oh, I love shrimp.
Oh.
I love shrimp.
Shellfish no good?
No seafood at all.
Oh, geez.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
I love shrimp. And literally the day I found out that I was allergic to cockroaches, which is, they have the same enzyme
as
shellfish.
Yeah. Right.
So then that knocks out the rest of the seafood because ocean.
Hang on.
And
how did you find out you are allergic to cockroaches?
So a few years ago, I wound up having a major health crash, and in the process of figuring out why, they did allergy testing, and cockroaches wound up being on that list.
Got it. Is that the thing where they poke your back with all the different stuff?
And, yeah, they did it on my
arms or whatever. Okay,
the allergist who was running my test, she thought that none of her tubes were working until she got to me. Literally all day, no one's had any reactions, and then I'm here I'm going to hurt you from how much pain I'm in, and she's like, I'm so sorry.
So five people come through, the first four, nothing. You have 15 things, so the average person has 3 allergies?
Oh, yeah. Right. Pretty much every single thing on that list I had a reaction to, and so I met with the ENT, and they're in the same building, so we did it right back to back, and she's like, do you like shrimp? I'm like, yeah, I love it, and she's like, no, you don't. Not anymore. And I was like, I was gonna order shrimp Alfredo from Red Lobster that night. I was very not happy with her.
Oh, man. I guess the Reds have two more games, if I'm reading these correctly. But last broadcast for us tonight. But Reds Cubs tonight, 6:10. And then, of course, Astros Phillies, 8 o'clock on 939 The Ville and on the app, which is very cool. So Saturday, by the way, bunch of good stuff. Of course, 93.9, you're home for the Cards. LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama, Texas A&M. That's 11:33 and 7:30. The first two on ESPN 680, 105.7, and on the app, and then on 93.9 for the other one. So lots of good play-by-play. You know, if you're driving around on Saturday, man, just grab one of our stations because you're going to get some play-by-play. Really good stuff. And another reminder from our friends at Revel XP. If you want to tailgate in style like us right along Card March, Revel XP is the ultimate fan experience. They'll set up everything. Tents, tables, ice down coolers, satellite TV. You'll even get a premium parking spot. You can buy up a setup for one game or the whole season. Just go to U of L schedule page on goldcards.com and click on the tailgate packages. It's Revel XP, an elite fan experience. So check them out as well. All right, let's head to break here so we can get Cam Drummond in from the Herald Leader. He'll join us on the other side this hour of the show, of course. Brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky, ky.deltadental.com. Individual, family, or employee plans. With that nationwide network of dentists, they also offer those vision plans through VSP, through Delta Vision, ky.deltadental.com. We'll talk with Cam Drummond on the other side from the Herald Leader. A little bit of UK football, maybe sprinkling a little UK basketball recruiting here on 680-1057.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, just kidding. No Dan Issel today. But you do get me. You get Louis. Louis Rabeau with you. Here's Issel and Louis 680, 105.7. Last segment of the show here. Taking you up to Bobby V at noon. And then, of course, the first take at 3 o'clock. Sweezy Streetle for you. There, Cubs Reds coming to you at 6 o'clock after that. Of course, reminder too that the Scott Satterfield show will be on at 7 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville tonight. They will ask him about lots of good things here. I can never tell, by the way. I think this person is being nice. But they spelled my name Louise. And I think it's probably just texting, right? That kind of thing, because it's a reasonable question. Why did jockey Sonny Leone get a suspension aboard Rich Strike? Rich Strike ran a wonderful race, by the way, and should have won. I was there for that race, and I went ahead and pulled rank and was in a very good spot for that race. And the reason is, if you see the head-on photos, and it's a good question, Leone, I mean, leans into Tyler Gaffel Leone in the stretch. And let's bring in Cam Drummond, because I assume he has seen this. Because all the Herald Leader guys apparently at least know a bunch about horse racing. But Leon, actually, you can now watch him elbow the jockey on the horse next to him, which is Art Collector and Tyler Gaffel Leone. And it's a 15-day suspension. I've seen many people calling for significantly longer suspensions than that. I don't know. It made me smile, though, because it became very political very quickly. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for leading me in with some horse racing talk. I knew I liked this place for a reason.
Yeah, Wally Pipp here with us. His name is Cam Drummond. So, you know, did you get to see any of the replays on that, or any of the pictures at least?
Yeah, I was kind of like nodding my head along a bit silently here while you were describing the moving pictures of the yeah. incident. And I'm kind of in your camp with that as well. You know, I don't know. I'm not experienced enough in this to, I guess, know, you know, how significant a suspension usually results from an incident like right. that. But I also thought that 15 days was a little bit light just based on how it occurred, how kind of egregious it was. You know, like you were just mentioning how you're able to maybe point it out in real time. And especially when you look back on the replays of it, it does not look, you know, even it does not look good at all. You know, there's no real gray area for it when he leans into Art Collector. So I was kind of, you know, agreeing with you in the sense that I thought it was warranted, and I thought 15 was a bit light on the scale of things.
Yeah, it really depends on, you know, the old the old Tarkenton line. You know, the NCAA was so mad, it, you know, UNLV that they threw the book at Kent State, you know, that kind of thing, whatever the line was. And, you know, with a guy like Leon, you know, it took like 15 of those for Irad Ortiz to get a 30-day suspension in New York. And so, you know, it kind of just depends who you are and you know, where the jurisdiction is. You know, in Kentucky, you know, I mean, Tyler just won the riding title again. I mean, he's I don't want to call him royalty here, but that guy, you know, he owns Churchill Downs right now. And so that's a, you know, you don't get to do that. There are actually pictures, I don't know if you've seen these, where Tyler's just smiling at him like, did you think that was going to work? And I think actually what he's really thinking is, dude, you had the better horse today and you bothered to like pull him to the side rather than just run it out. And right. Really, I think that's where the malpractice happened is that Rich Strike passes him in the stretch. He should have won the race. And instead of coercing him to the sort of the middle of the track, you know, Leon gets into that Belterra Cincinnati kind of, you know, move and costs his horse the race.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a big NASCAR guy as well. So
oh, okay.
I remember it was funny because Talladega was this weekend as well. So, you know, you got on a super speedway track or a restrictor plate track like Talladega or Daytona. And sometimes you'll see guys, you know, as you're racing to the finish line, trying to pull out in front of a line, either high or low, and to block, basically, you know, to preserve that first position
sure.
coming to the line. So that's kind of the same parallel that I drew with Rich Strike and Leon this weekend. Just he had the faster car. He had the faster horse. There really was no reason to divert from his path, you know, and pull out in front or get, you know, that close. So really, you know, it's kind of only harming himself in the end. So, I mean, it's obviously a split-second decision. I'm not going to pretend like I ride horses for a living or know what I'm doing with
sure.
that. But that was the exact parallel. It was just in my mind. It was like, you know, 2007 Daytona 500, Mark Martin, Kevin Harvick going to the line. Stay on your path. Don't waver. Don't waver. You got the better horse, man. Come on.
Yeah, it'd be like Usain Bolt, you know, taking a lead and then deciding he's got to, like, you know, move over a lane or something to try to intimidate somebody instead of just running. Just keep running, man. Cam Drummond with us. He's from the Herald Leader, Kentucky.com/sports for all of their stuff. You know, they've got you working on a lot of different things down there. What would you say right now is the most interesting thing that you're working on?
Honestly, I'll have to go back to this past weekend just because it was my first experience being here in Lexington and in Kentucky for a Big Blue Madness campout. You know, I woke up at like 3:30, 4 a.m. maybe on Saturday morning, and obviously they hadn't had it the past couple of years. So I was curious both just to see what turnout would be like after 2 years away, and obviously, you know, interest in that event has kind of waned with technology and the invention of, you know, being able to watch it on the SEC network, being able to get tickets through Ticketmaster. But also just, you know, for my own, you know, curiosity, because I went to college in Indiana and there were some camp out events, you know, people would line up hours in advance for Hoosier Hysteria. I remember one game that Jack Grossman at the station definitely remembered when we were freshmen in 2016 when North Carolina came to town and people were camping out to get good season seats like two nights before the game in freezing conditions. But I'd never really seen anything like this where people were camping out to get tickets specifically for a free event that doesn't happen for 2 weeks more time.
Right.
So I showed up there outside Memorial Coliseum at 4:30 a.m. on Saturday to find a line of about 100, 115 people. And obviously most folks will tell you that it's nothing now like it used to be back in the 90s or even the early 2000s, just from an interest level and from a, you know, you have to be there, you know, kind of craziness kind of level. It was very organized with UKPD, you know, inching the line forward, making sure there were no fist fights in the camping area. And I checked back in a couple times throughout the weekend, and it was a pretty mellow scene. They had like a small watch party for the Kentucky Ole Miss football game, but it was just like, you know, one kind of outdoor big screen TV, nothing super crazy. But it was just a good kind of indoctrination for me, because if I'm going to, you know, be here for almost a year now, I feel like I want to have all those quintessential Kentucky type experiences. So, you know, I've been to the Derby, I've been to three, almost about to be four team meets coming up now. But I really hadn't seen a ton. I've been to a Big Blue Madness from last year, but I hadn't seen, you know, really the full scope of things, I think, until at least I get to understand a bit better what the camp out was and why certain people continue to do it despite the fact that it's on TV and you can just, you know, sign up for tickets from your bed. But it was just an experience, definitely one that left me super sleep deprived and regretting several decisions from the night before that led me to get 2 hours of sleep beforehand. Oof. But we're still here in one piece, and that's all that matters.
There you go. He's Cam Drummond from the Herald Leader, cdrummond97 on Twitter if you want to go find his stuff there. Really a smorgasbord of different UK athletic things with Cam on his Twitter feed. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned the big, you know, the camp out and the people that are there and the excitement for, you know, for basketball. What is the mood right now around football? I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways to have taken in Saturday's game. Our sense here from Louisville is that UK fans kind of go, aw shucks, that was a tough loss, you know, but we still love Levis, we still love this team, you know, Stoops is the guy. I'm surprised there isn't a little more anger around that game, because frankly it was right there, and a 5-0 start with a chance to come home and win a couple more games, and then that trip to Tennessee sort of hearkening on the horizon as an undefeated team. Maybe Tennessee's undefeated, and you got this big matchup in Knoxville for not necessarily just second place in the East, but just, you know, just a huge spot in the top, you know, 5-6 in the country, really solidifying all of Mark Stoops's, you know, decade of work in Lexington. How are people on the ground? Because one of the things that I use as a measuring tool here, and the get-in price for Saturday's game is still like $90 a ticket.
Wow. Yeah, that's significant. And something that, like, it's funny because I was actually talking about this with someone yesterday about the idea of Kentucky football and the fan base really just maybe still kind of being happy to be here in this kind of situation. Yep. Like, you know, great that they were number 7 in the country and great that they're 13 or 14, whatever they've slipped to now. But there really isn't that, you know, complete meltdown type of reaction like maybe you guys have seen in Louisville after the Chestnut Hill incident. I saw you trying to get through the Satterfield radio show promotion with a straight face. You almost hate it. That was a good effort on your part. But you do kind of get that sense, right? Like, and maybe it helps that it's an early season game where you still had, you know, two very significant, very difficult opponents down the road in Tennessee away and Georgia at home. Maybe it's helped by the fact that the results in the performance against Missouri aside, Georgia is the presumed top team in the East, and it really would take a very large bridge to get you to believing that Kentucky could unseat them. But it is a lot kind of just standing by their players, standing by Stoops, not really, to your point, being as upset as maybe they should be with the way that the game worked out, because you mentioned, I mean, not only the fumbles and the turnovers from Levis in the red zone, not only the fact that they had the touchdown at the end there if they didn't have that illegal motion penalty right beforehand, not to mention the kicking game issues, you know, where you're missing field goals and missing extra points at a stage of the season where you probably shouldn't. But maybe part of that, too, is also just the building up of goodwill over time. The fact that after the last couple of years, Kentucky really hasn't had a ton of moments like this where in an absolutely critical, big-time, top 15 road SEC matchup, they're coming up only a couple points short based on uncharacteristic turnovers and kicking game issues. Maybe you just have enough seasons where that doesn't become the defining aspect. You have enough full wins, you have enough 9-10 win seasons stacked on top of each other, that builds you enough of goodwill for this one to kind of be a shrug your shoulders, say we almost got them. And maybe part of this too is just waiting to see the response that happens. I think you'll see a lot more, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, social media vitriol and anger coming out if they stub their toe this coming week against South Carolina, or they do the same against Mississippi State in 2 weeks' time. So maybe it is kind of a wait-and-see type thing, and that's something that Stoops mentioned both in the post-game presser in Oxford and also yesterday during his weekly presser, just the fact that one loss can't become two, especially when Kentucky on paper should be handling teams like South Carolina and Mississippi State pretty easily if they were within a play or two plays of taking down a team like Ole Miss on the road.
Yeah, you know, and I want to be clear about something too, and Cam Drummond is with us from the Herald Leader. You and I have something in common here, which is that we are just observers of UK, right? And so I don't want to tell fans how to feel. So if this is a, like you mentioned, if this is just a long-term, we're happy with where the program's at kind of feeling, you know, frankly, if this were to happen, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, I have a grad degree from IU, and, you know, being around there, if the football team were doing at IU right now what Kentucky's been doing for the last 5 years, no one would be complaining, right? If they had gone to, I don't know, what's the equivalent this year? If they had just gone up to Minnesota and lost by 3, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one would have said anything, right? They'd have been like, oh, yeah, it stinks that, you know, that, you know, there's a couple fumbles and we missed a field goal, but, you know, at least Tom's got him playing. You know, it's fun to go to the tailgates. There's a lot of people at the stadium, that kind of thing. And so, like, I don't know if it's just what you describe in that. It's more fun than it used to be, because when I moved to Kentucky, it wasn't like this. And, you know, and so I think people simply don't take it for granted that way. You might be right. And like I said, I don't want to tell fans how to feel, because from the outside, it feels like people are satisfied with where the program is, and that it's a little bit different of a feel than it is around here with Louisville, where people are very easily unhappy with the program. And so,
I do think the longevity play is like an important aspect to think about, just with sustained. Yeah. And it's funny that you bring up the IU example, because that's part of the stuff I was discussing with people yesterday as well. Is just it's what happened in the COVID year where when IU went, I think they ended up being 6-2, but they are obviously having all the top 25 wins, building up that interest, that goodwill, getting to a premier bowl game, you know, obviously not winning the bowl game. But if you extrapolate that over 3, 4, 5 years,
correct,
then it really does dull moments like this, especially when you talk about how incompetent Kentucky football was. You know, you think back to the fact that Joker Phillips really wasn't that long ago. And now it almost feels weird that if you lived through that experience and, you know, how terrible a 2-10 season that was, or how low and how milquetoast a lot of those Kentucky football seasons were, it really does feel a bit facetious to get worked up and super angry when you're losing by 3 points on a couple fluke, you know, incidents at Ole Miss in a, you know, ESPN marquee noon game. So I do think that has a lot to do with it, and also just the fact that maybe there's the expectation or the belief that this team is strong enough, this coaching staff is the correct ones in place to make sure it doesn't snowball and get out of control and have any kind of meaningful regression at the same time.
Cam Drummond with us. By the way, he used the term milquetoast. That's how I know we have a Big Ten guy on. Avery, I will give you $100 right now if you can spell milquetoast.
Is it not like it sounds?
It is not like it sounds. That would be MILQUETOAST. Milquetoast. There you go. So, all right. So,
what? Where is the Q?
It's an important question. Oh, Cam Drummond with us. CDrummond97 on Twitter, Kentucky.com/sports for all the stuff down at the Herald Leader. All right. Hey, update us a little bit on, you know, we always have Ben Roberts on 10:30 on Thursdays. He'll be back on this week. And we are watching him transform more into the beat writer guy than the recruiting guy. Obviously, he keeps up on everything. Ben's pretty remarkable that way. But the what do you think is the biggest headline going right now in Kentucky basketball recruiting?
Well, I mean, you got to look straight to Big Blue Madness coming up here on the 14th, and just looking at the list of recruits that will be coming in for Kentucky. You have the two commits in the class of 2023, Justin Edwards, Reed Shepherd. That's more of a check-in type thing. You know, nothing remarkable there. They're committed. They will be Kentucky Wildcats, but getting them again on campus to solidify things, because, of course, as we know, in the current recruiting climate, you always need to make sure that you're doubling down your efforts and making sure that no one, you know, decommits or slips away. But then also you're looking at the DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw visits, obviously the two major headline news things that will occur for Big Blue Madness. The fact that both of them are making their second visits to Kentucky without making a first visit to Louisville. Although in Bradshaw's case, it really has become less of a Kentucky-Louisville or other college school battle, and it's a lot more of a Kentucky versus a professional pathway battle. You know, he's involved with the G League Ignite, so it's potentially a UK or G League path for Bradshaw. And then also recently, I mean, it's come out that Carter Knox, the legacy recruit for Kentucky, the younger brother of Kevin Knox, he's class of 2024 out of the Tampa area down in Florida. He'll be there at Big Blue Madness as well. So I believe he's the only reported 2024 player currently scheduled to make the trip for Big Blue Madness. And that's a big one for Kentucky as well. That's actually kind of shaping up to be a bit of a Kentucky-Louisville battle as well, interestingly. So I'd be curious to see that. The, you know, two kind of headline names in 2023 where both of those schools have featured prominently, and then you might get that again in 2024, especially with the dynamics of Carter Knox being the younger brother of a UK player that was successful while I was here, is continuing to have a solid NBA career, not to mention the ties between what Kevin Knox has done at the Knicks with the current coaching staff at Louisville. But yeah, so Big Blue Madness coming up on the 14th with five really big name recruits, in particular those three who are uncommitted. And, of course, anytime you float the name DJ Wagner out there into the ether, there's going to be a lot of attention focused on it.
His name's Cam Drummond. He joins us from the Herald Leader. Sorry, I was stunned that you mentioned DJ Wagner for a second there. We've never really talked about him. I haven't spent weeks on the guy. Pretty remarkable. I have to say, one of the more interesting things that's happened by having Ben on every week is that he's been confident about Wagner for months. And I mean months and months. And so there's been a very different feel about that recruitment in Lexington than there was here locally. And then, of course, the Drake stuff happens and all those other things. And so, you know, sticking with basketball, they're going to drop the full schedule today, right?
Yes, the John Calipari tweeted last night, or, yeah, you know, was like, oh, I can't wait to drop the schedule, or why don't we do it tomorrow? So, yeah, the full schedule for Kentucky, even though we know 95% of it will come out later today.
Yeah, thank you, TJ Beisner, for that tweet. The you know, the other part of this with Kentucky basketball is there are – I mean, there's legitimate expectations, and I think there's legitimate reasons for expectations. What are Cam Drummond's expectations for them this year?
I mean, I think they have to be just as what they were last year, if not even a bit higher, just because of the returning talent and the incoming talent. I mean, obviously, there will be the token acclimation period, obviously the Champions Classic game against Michigan State and Indianapolis, which will be, I believe, their third game of the season after a couple exhibitions and two tune-up games. That will be, you know, the early season measuring stick. 5 days after that, you go to Spokane to play Gonzaga. So there will be an early season indication pretty quick away of what this Kentucky team will be and if it's willing to match up to those expectations where they're a top five, top three team throughout the course of the season. But I think it's correct to put those expectations on them right from the off, given what you have coming back, given the fact that you maybe have backup options in case some of those experienced players falter. I mean, I do think a lot of this season will ride on Sevier Wheeler and just what kind of comes from that. And you also have to think about the idea that if Sevier Wheeler doesn't perform up to par or up to standard, you have plenty of guys waiting in the wings to take over from him, to maybe give, you know, an injection of better ball handling skill, better decision making. And that's a lot to put on freshmen, but at the same time, that's what you come to Kentucky for, to be in those big moments. Exactly. So just between all the pieces that are going to fit together, I think it's more than fair to expect this team to contend for both the SEC regular season tournament titles, you know, and make a deep run, Elite Eight or better in the tournament come March.
You cover the women's team in some recent work as well. Are there reasonable expectations on that side of things? Is the renovations that are going to happen in Memorial Coliseum part of those expectations? Where are you out on that?
So, yeah, that's going to be a big old shake of the Magic 8 ball and just see what it tells you thing. I really have no idea what to expect from the UK women's team this season. An absolute ton of roster turnover from last year. Obviously, Ryan Howard gets drafted number one overall in the WNBA draft back in April. She won League Rookie of the Year honors with Atlanta. So that will be the headline name storyline of how Kentucky women's basketball moves on from the Ryan Howard era. But you also had four other key players leave during the offseason via transfer. Kentucky brings in four transfers as part of 10 total newcomers, including six freshmen. So you have a significant roster increase as well from, I believe, 9 healthy scholarship players last year to 14 this year. So more players, a lot of different faces, only 5 returnees, one of them being Blair Green, who tore Achilles, I believe, in preseason last year and missed the entirety of last year. So no telling really what she will look like as an experienced player, but someone who hasn't played high level, you know, up against opponent basketball for a long period of time. And I was actually speaking with Kyra Elzey in an interview yesterday, and she was explaining how the increased roster size will allow Kentucky to kind of shift its play style a bit as well. They can be a bit more up-tempo on offense. They can be a bit more aggressive and pressing on defense, which is her preferred style of play. It's just at times last season when they were down to as few as 5 or 6 scholarship players for certain games, that's not something you can really do given the limits of the human body and the limits of fouling in basketball. So they have a pretty easy, you know, tame start to the season. They play 4, frankly, really bad teams to start the year at home before they go down Thanksgiving week to the Bahamas for a neutral site tournament against a couple of NCAA tournament teams from last year. But yeah, a real question mark, a real mystery what Kentucky women's basketball will do this season. Kyra Elzey's third as head coach, and obviously the first without Ryan Howard for a few years now.
All right, real quick, national question. If you have a Heisman vote, who are your top 3?
Oh, putting me on the spot here. You mentioned this earlier about you know, Big Ten and milk toast. So I think I'm gonna probably overinflate what Ohio State is and what they can do, just because I happen to watch too much of them. And obviously the Michigan game, as usual, will determine kind of the ceiling for what they can do this season. But you look at the raw stats for a guy like CJ Stroud. I mean, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, the completion percentage hovering around 70. I know it hasn't been the toughest opponents, and Notre Dame turned out to be a bit of a fraud, shocker. But I kind of think he's up there, and especially if he has some big flashy performances against the Michigan, you know, in a Big Ten title game, I think you could really see the needle move with him. I'm not there on Georgia or Stetson Bennett just because I can't take any team seriously.
Even in the athletic stuff,
Missouri.
Yeah, in the athletic stuff, Brock Bowers is getting more votes than Stetson Bennett, which is wild. But all right, we'll get you out of here on this. Do you think you could be duped by a beautiful woman?
Yeah, it's already happened like 3 times in my life, so why not a 4th?
He's Cam Drummond. We'll get him out of there on that. C Drummond 97 on Twitter at Kentucky.com/sports. Thanks, Cam.
Pleasure as always.
All right. We'll see you, buddy. A little Wally Pip on a Tuesday. All right. So it's been Issel and Louie hanging out with us on a Tuesday. Bobby V up next in the saddle here at noon. You'll get Andy and Streetel at 3, as Dan always says. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. We hope you will be too. This has been Issel and Louie, second hour of the show. ky.deltadental.com. Our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. Hey, friends, don't be duped by beautiful women. Just don't do it. Don't do it, Avery. You get me? Don't do it.
Oh, but that's the fun part.
It is the fun part. All right, we'll get out of here. As Dan always says, we'll be here tomorrow at 10. We hope you will be, too. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.